All right, good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Right. And then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand in the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Now when he had heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And people who were sitting in darkness saw great light, and to those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death upon them, a light dawned." And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And they immediately left the nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And the news about him went out into all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, taken with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And great multitudes followed him from Galilee into Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from all the Jordan. Amen. Oh, excuse me. Well, we have the first encounter now, right? Before Jesus goes and he enters his fast and he spends time, after the baptism. And then the first encounter that he has with the enemy, he comes and tempts him with a couple of things. I think it's a couple of really good insights for us to recognize, one, we ask this question of ourselves, what is God really after in our life? You know, the flip side we can also ask is, what does the enemy really want from us? What is his grand scheme in this whole thing? I mean, what's he really after? And this text kind of really speaks into that. You notice the first thing that in this whole temptation is Jesus is very hungry, right? He's at a point of weakness right now. This is a demonic scheme. And you'll notice that the enemy will always come when you're weak, right? The Bible says he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. And he's patient, right? He's steady, and he'll wait. And the moment that you walk into your weakness or you begin to operate out of that weakness, he'll start pouncing on you. And we need to recognize that every single one of us, we have a weakness. In Jesus' case, obviously he didn't sin, so his weakness, he was in a weak state, he was hungry. But all of us have different weaknesses. We have different proclivities towards different things, right? There's, for someone like me, alcoholism or those, it doesn't affect me at all. It's not one of my weaknesses, but I have weaknesses in other areas. For some of you, it could be too much materialism, it just gets overboard, or it could be sex. A lot of us, we have different weaknesses, and all varies in different people. And so we recognize we all have weaknesses. The key is, as a Christian, right, is to, instead of letting those weaknesses, turn into wickedness, we surrender those things to God. Do you guys understand? Right? We all have weaknesses, right? Weaknesses will turn into wickedness if it's not submitted to the Lord, right? And so the enemy comes to Jesus, and he sees, he's in a weak state. This is my opportune time now. And he enters in, and the first thing he does, he attacks this weakness, and he says, "Look, if you're the Son of God, right? Why don't you take this stone and turn it to bread, right? I mean, you've got the power. You're the Son of God. And so he attacks him at his point of his identity, you know, just kind of saying, are you really the Son of God? Prove yourself to me. You know, and this is the thing with the enemy. You'll always be proving yourself, right? You'll never be satisfied. You're always trying to prove something, right, to someone. That's demonic scheme. And so we see that he comes in and, you know, he says, prove yourself to me. Are you really the Son of God? You know, are you, right, just kind of attacking at this insecurity that if there was insecurity there, but obviously there isn't. You know, and Jesus says, look, man, right, it is written, right, he's quoting Deuteronomy, right, man should not live on bread alone. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's actually a very good translation, Eugene Peterson, The Message. And he says, you know, it takes more than bread for a man to live. It takes streams of living words, right, to keep man alive. You know, and this is what we need, more than bread. And so the enemy goes, oh, okay, so you really trust God, huh? So is that, because that basically he's attacking his trust of the Lord. Will God provide for Jesus his necessities? That's really the point of attack. And so the enemy is, oh, okay, because he's clever. Oh, so you really trust God, huh? You really trust him? All right, I'll tell you what then, why don't you throw yourself off of this mountain then? Let's see if you really trust God. You know, and Jesus turns and says, hey, come on now, right? It is written, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. You know, we see that one thing, the scheme of the enemy, he likes to operate in extremes, right? He likes to swing that pendulum from one extreme to the next extreme, right? This is, we get like this sometimes, right? We move in extremes. You know, we can get so fanatical about things and totally miss out on what God has in store. Right, we can, and sometimes we can get so fanatical about holiness or so fanatical about righteousness that we start condemning everybody, right? Or we can get so fanatical, you know, about, you know, even fasting. We can be, you know, crazy about it and we miss out on exactly what God had in store for us, right? So be careful of that. You know, Carl Jung, right, he says fanaticism is overcompensation for doubt. Right, and so we need to be aware that, you know, we need to be level and we need to be steady and we need to be following God's heart and we need to be there because the enemy operates in extremes, right? The enemy tilts over here and says, oh, okay, I don't think you trust God. Oh, you trust God? All right, jump then, right? And so, the enemy will always move in these things. And then we get to the point, what is the devil really after? And then he takes him up, the last one, to a high mountain. Shows him all the kingdoms of the world, right? Shows him all these things because they belong to him. You got to understand that. They're his, right? When Adam sinned, right, there was a transfer that happened. And he takes him up to these places and he says, I'll give you all these things if you bow down and worship me. What is ultimately the enemy after? It's worship, right? Now, see, he's sly. So it's not like, you know, you talk to someone and says, well, I don't worship the devil. You know, you crazy man. You know, I don't do that. I'm not a Satanist or I don't do that. But you know, anytime you worship something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what you're doing? Just think about it, right? You know, anytime that the Lord is not the center of your worship, right? It could become even spiritual things, right? And they become the center of your worship. Guess what? You are bowing down, right, to the enemy of your heart, the enemy of your soul. You know, it could be so many different things, right? Sometimes it could be good things, but then not be the best for you. And as soon as we're offering worship other than the Lord, right, it goes straight to the enemy. Right? This is his whole plan. This is what he's always wanted. Remember way back in Ezekiel, you know, when he was Lucifer, right? When he did become Satan. Remember what Lucifer wanted, right? He was the angel of worship, the archangel of worship. Right, and all this worship would come to Lucifer, you know, and then Lucifer, you know, in Ezekiel says that at some point he enjoyed that worship and he left it for himself. What Lucifer's main job as the archangel, the word says the cherub that covers. And so he was the angel, you know, that would bring in, the angels would worship Lucifer. Lucifer would take that worship in and amplify it towards God. Kind of take away some of the worship that was not so holy. Apparently during that time, the angels had that, you know, that ability to offer up either holy worship or an unholy worship. And so he would come in and he would filter this thing and amplify it to God. And at some point, he enjoyed that worship. And he says, and he began to lift himself above the Lord. Right? This is what he's always been after. He wants you to worship him. He wants you not to worship the Lord. He wants you to bow down to money. He wants you to bow down to materialism. He wants you to bow down to, you know, relationships, you know, above and beyond. You know, this is what he's after. This is what he's always been after, right? He wants us to worship him. You know, and the enemy turns and, you know, and Jesus turns and this is the last straw. He turns to him and says, "Begone, Satan," right? "You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." You know, and then the devil leaves and he waits, you know, for another opportune time. And then he begins his ministry and he goes into Galilee, you know, and if you've actually, I would encourage you, I think this May, we're going to go back to Israel, you know, as long as Hamas doesn't say anything about it, but we'll be back there and we'll end up going to Galilee and you'll see this beautiful place. Hopefully we'll camp out a couple nights on the Sea of Galilee, you know, in a kibbutz, and it'll be a fantastic time. So I just kind of throw that at you guys just to prepare your schedule a bit, you know. But he goes from, you know, basically the center of the town, you know, the metropolis, and he moves into the countryside. And, you know, and having been there, actually Galilee is quite beautiful, but it is the countryside, a bunch of hicks, right? And so it's kind of like, you know, Jesus, you know, if he was in Hong Kong, he leaves Central and he goes out to Tuen Mun, you know, and, you know, you think, wow, how are you going to, you know, you figure the sophisticated people are in Central, you know, the powerful people are in Central, you know, I mean, this is downtown, man, you know, but where does Jesus go? He goes out to the highways, I mean, he goes out to the boonies. And he first calls together Peter and then Andrew, you know, and he calls them into the ministry, you know, and then John and James, you know, and he begins to call them. And this is, you know, the last thing here, this is his twofold message, or this the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 23, Jesus going about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Right, this is the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this should be your mission as well. Right? Notice very simply, proclamation, demonstration. Right? This is what set Jesus apart from everybody else. Now, he taught, right, but priests taught as well. But there was something, right, the word there is proclaim, you know, and we could probably translate that preach. You know, and so he proclaimed, there was proclamation. And always alongside, this was different about Jesus, there was always a demonstration, right? People can use their ears to hear the message, and then their eyes and their senses to feel, right, and to experience what the Lord had done, right? This will be important as you witness, as you, you know, want to talk with friends and, you know, about the Lord Jesus Christ and these things. Let there be an opportunity for some demonstration. Right, you know, let them see with their eyes, you know, feel, you know, Jesus said when the guys kept, you know, asking him about where he's going, he says, "Wait, come and see, you know, come and check it out, come and experience what's going on, and then make a decision after that." And so, at some point of our life, right, when we're witnessing or when we're trying to lead people to the Lord or just be a good influence on people, there must be some level of demonstration that occurs. Look for opportunities. God will bring those opportunities there. And I'm not necessarily talking about just supernatural things. I'm not talking about that you pray for someone to be healed or something. But let people see, right, exactly, you know, what you're about as a believer. You know, let them begin to experience with their eyes and their feelings and their touch and senses what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he'll say later on, he says, "Let your light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven," right? And so not just say something, do something, right? It goes hand in hand. You know, one of the church fathers, Francis of Assisi, you know, you guys, it's a very famous line. He says, "Always preach the gospel, and when you absolutely have to, use words," right? And to Francis, it was about living this life. You know, and so let people see, let there be proclamation, right? There must be proclamation, right? Because people need to hear proclamation and then demonstration, right? You know, demonstrate in some way that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's Lord of your life. You know, and you can do it in so many ways. You know, I mean, one of the real simple ways is through generosity, right? That there's something about generosity that God just blesses, right? Proclamation, demonstration. All right, let's close our eyes. just on a few different points. On one today, you know, are you walking in weakness right now that is unsubmitted? I encourage you to spend some time this morning and just giving that over to the Lord, just submitting that to God. And it's just quite an honest prayer. God, this is something I struggle with, Lord. God, help me. I just lay it at your feet. I don't have the strength to overcome, Lord, but you can grant that to me, so help. That's what submission is. It's a giving over. And saying, God, this is your problem now. Take it. Or maybe you're convicted by your lack of demonstration. Or maybe in some, your lack of proclamation. I mean, just bottom line, man, you're just ashamed of the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. You know, out of Matthew chapter 4, whatever the Spirit kind of put inside of you, let's just respond to the Lord in prayer. Let's just go to God. In that way, let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for just an increased passion for the Lord. Just a real love, right? For many of us to go back to our first loves or God to create that first love in us. So let's go before God and let's just pray for ourselves. And let's ask God, Lord, give me a passion for Jesus. Let's just pray. Let's pray for Solomon Sports. Let's pray for our accountability groups. Let's pray that all the groups would really minister deeply to one another, that we would walk in vulnerability, that God would just really knit us together, not just in friendship, but just in real just divine closeness, that we can really go deep with one another. All right, so let's just pray for our accountability groups. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask God to bring revival to this place. Let's pray that God would just minister and touch the churches, and they would continue to grow and expand and really make an impact in this place. Let's pray for all the families in Hong Kong. They'd be united together. Let's ask God to really come and just really minister. One thing I've noticed just in the a few years I've been here is that the families are so broken here. You know, I mean, they're broken everywhere, but there's something just kind of unique about the way that the enemy is really operating here in Hong Kong. It's just really lift up the family unit and ask God for healing and reconciliation. You know, especially aunts, uncles, and families, especially the families that are kind of wealthy in some way, and their families are so broken. You know, let's just really ask God to really minister to the families and the churches and for Him to just really just sweep this place with revival. And let's just lift up to the Lord. Let's turn to our member prayer focus, and let's pray for our brother Charles. Let's pray that he would just be deepened in his relationship and walk with God so he can be a stronger influence on his peers and able to witness effectively within the workplace and in his industry to exemplify Christianity to the fullest. Let's pray that he would continue to deepen his relationship with his family members as well as continuing their growth spiritually, and particularly his brother, his new wife, and his dad. And for him to make some key breakthroughs in his father's business and to show his goodness while shedding light upon his father's business. And let's pray also for the Lord to be with him at work while making and discerning decisions on new opportunities that may arise. So let's just cover Charles. Let's pray for our sister Andrea. Let's pray that the salvation would go before the Lord for her brother, that he can open his heart to accept the Lord and be able to know the beauty of having a relationship with God. Let's also pray for Andrea's mom's health and her happiness, and pray also that she'd have a closer relationship with God and that she'd be able to glorify the Lord in everything that she does, and wisdom in dealing with relationships with coworkers, and strength with dealing for tough tasks in her job. So let's just cover our sister. Let's pray for our brother Stanley. Let's pray for the word of salvation to go forth for her, for his grandmother, his dad, and brother. Also pray for healing for his dad. He's been sick for a very long time. Let's just really cover him and just really ask for a breakthrough. Also pray for guidance in his career, and also for someone to rent out his house in Singapore that's been open for a few months. And let's pray that God would work creatively in that way as well. So let's pray for our brother. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that in our weakness, God, that we can always turn to you, Father, that we can always come and run to the throne of grace and receive mercy and find our help in our time of need, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you're going to use us in the marketplace, God. You're going to use us amongst our family members, our friends, God, as we step out in faith, God, as we proclaim and as we demonstrate. And so I pray, God, that you'd give us the will, Father God, the strength, Lord, to step out in faith, God, and to really be submitted to you and to be used by you. God, we thank you. Lord, even today, God, we ask you to use us, Lord. God, bind our will to your will this day, Lord. God, we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.